I just want to suggest something quickly, that why the flesh is worse than the world and in the next study. Not as far as the millennium is concerned, but on the case that we have it from Genesis 19. There are three principles that are broken in the scripture in relationship to marriage and bearing children. The first principle, when the principle of marriage is broken, it is a work of Satan, because he always wants to defy what marriage is all about. It's about Christ and the assembly. When in the scripture we read that people have children without marriage, is a picture of the world. That's what the world system would like us to live in, such a way. But when we read of the flesh in Genesis 19, it's the most awful of all of them to bring the fruit of it. I always say, talk about psychological problem. The children, would they have called Lot daddy or grandpa? But that's the result of the flesh, that it brings tremendous confusion and self-will. Remember that word, I, and self-will is part of the flesh. What does Moab tell me? Another verse, just to balance it out, because I think him being very fat, later on we'd read, will support the Jeremiah 48 verse 11. That Moab has been at ease from the days of his youth. And if you don't recognize that the flesh wants you to go around things the easy way, especially when it comes to spiritual, don't invest time. Don't go after these things. It is not worth it. Take it easy. You know, we have that saying in our time, take it easy. And certainly would say that the thought of Moab, the thought of the ease of the flesh, that he would not let us go after spiritual matters, because the flesh has one object before it. And guess what it is? I has one object. It's not Christ. And of course, the flesh is always in conflict with the spirit, but that's not his object. The object, the only object that the flesh has, is self. And when you are thinking too much about yourself and everything about yourself, just watch it. Because we are living under such a principle.
So the flesh is the world's ideals working on a personal level.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's important, because I want to summarize what Brother John have said, just and link that with it. So just, you could have it in 3 points. It's easy for me always. I'm a simple-minded, so 3 things work for me. How is the flesh manifest itself? Sexual immorality, Genesis chapter 19. When you see it around you, it's a manifestation of the flesh. It's an awful, horrible thing against the purity and the beauty that God have designed. Something that God designed that is beautiful, that is precious, that it ought to be kept in a proper way. Satan would take it and let the flesh activate it. So the flesh, number one, it displays itself in sexual immorality. That's the activity of the flesh. The second thing, in the idea of indulgent. And that's what we have here in Eglon. Eglon, it said, the scripture said he was a very fat man. Now, I like to imagine things. Have you ever seen a sumo wrestler? I think Eglon was like that. You know, like these guys who are like 3 tons, you know, and all they do the whole day is just eat and then beat up other people. That's really what the flesh is. Imagine, it's a big, fat, ugly guy that just eats rice and whatever he eats all day. All day, they're just feeding him stuff. And that's what Eglon is. He is a very man that just indulge himself. Eat as much as he can. Indulge, you know. Today is the trend. What are we going to eat here? What are we going to eat there? And it's just a trend. Nothing wrong with eating. We take everything with thanksgiving and we enjoy what God had given us. But the activity of the flesh, it's all about food. Let's eat and drink because tomorrow we'll die. Sexual immorality is the first feature. Indulgent in whatever it is, you know, or the other extreme of it is diet. People go crazy about not eating certain things or eating. It's all out of proportion. Everything is in proportion. We take it with thanksgiving, and we thank God for it. And that's just really the way it is. Now, there are some medical conditions where you cannot eat certain food. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm talking about just the obsession of certain things. That is the activity of the flesh. Sexual immorality, indulgent. The third thing is in Jeremiah chapter 48 that Brother John mentioned, and verse 11. And this is the whole idea of laziness. I look at it as laziness. You know, I don't want to do it. I don't want to get up early and read my Bible. I don't want to read my Bible at all. I don't want to go to the meeting. And if I go to the meeting, I'm going to fall asleep. It's just a matter of laziness. That is the activity of the flesh. The flesh display itself in these things. There are the fruit of the flesh that Brother Carlyle read in Galatians chapter 5. But not really the fruit of the flesh. The manifestation of the flesh, the activity of the flesh, display itself in these three things. Sexual immorality, indulgence, and laziness.
I think it's important to remember, as we talked about the tools for deliverance and recovery, is that in the book of Judges, the Word of God is prominent as the tool that brings about recovery, that brings about victory. We saw with Othniel in chapter 1, the city of books, how he conquered that, and its name was changed. We didn't mention this. His name was changed to the city of the book, right? So we go from the intellect of men and all of their books to the Word of God. He uses that same Word of God to judge the people, to recover them, and to go to war and to be victorious. So the flesh now is a real problem for all of us. And I'd like to just add this prefix, Brother Amel, to indulgence. It's really self-indulgence, right?
Yeah.
It's all about me, myself, satisfying all of these desires. And that's where we get into trouble. And so the people of God now are under this very hard thing. You want the flesh? You know, I remember, Brother, when I was a teenager, you know, it was young people always ask the same kind of questions, and you know, every time you have young people, same kind of, well, I can't even go ahead and do this. He said, you go ahead and do it. And I went to him after. I said, Brother, you know, have we changed something from the Word of God that you tell us to go do? He said, no. Every young people's meeting, that same young man is asking the same question. He said, so the principle is what Paul, in 1 Corinthians 5, he had to give over into the hands of the enemy that person, that they might be one for God. So God is using, in a sense, this principle. You want the flesh? Let me give it to you all. Let me give it to you for 18 years. Let's see how you handle that. You want self-indulgence? You want to be big, fat people that you can't walk like sumo wrestlers, run into each other and stand in the middle of a ring because they have no vigor, no energy? He said, I'm going to give it to you for 18 years. And then what happens? You get what you want? And then it says, but when? When I think of this sentence, it reminds me of the prodigal, when he came to his senses. And this is why the Lord gives his people over into the hands of what they want, to bring them to their senses. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera of Benjamite, a left-handed man. So young men, help us. Benjamite. Left-handed man. Now, there's some left-handed people here. There's nothing wrong with being
left-handed. How many here are left-handed? I want to see that.
Yeah, put your hand up. You're left-handed. One.
Two.
Two. They say they're very creative.
Three.
People. Left-handed people. But everything is made for right-handed people, by the way, you know? So you tend to be in the minority.
Actually, no. Actually, right-handed is a handicap. Very few people overcome it. Finally, they got it.
Okay.
Amen. So help us out, young man.
And became left-handed. I want them to feel good. They are not men.
He's from the tribe of Benjamin, and he's left-handed. Somebody tell us about the tribe of Benjamin. Why is this important?
Son of my right hand.
He was the son of his right. That's what that means.
That's what it means. Benjamin.
So he goes to school and Yeah, you're the son of my right hand, but you're left-handed, huh? What happened to you? All right.